Hi guys, we hope you're enjoying the show you're listening to now. We have a show that we think you might like. I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And we present a show called Rise of the Robots,
where we cover such robot combat shows as
Robot Wars,
BattleBots,
King of Bots,
and BuggleBots,
where we recap these shows and review them, and document the rise of the robots.
You can find us on your podcast app of choice or at audioboom.com. Just search for Rise of the Robots.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing Scooby-Doo and Crypto 2.
Which, if you have nothing else to say for it, is a really, really enjoyable title to say compared to some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's enjoyable to say anyway, but when you compare it with things like DC Superhero Girls versus Teen Titans, Troubling Little America or something.
Yeah.
So this one is pleasant because it's alliterative, not alliterative, it's assonant, and it's just fun.
Or Justice League and Ruby Superheroes and Huntsman Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the next one.
Which is what we're doing next time.
I was going to say, I knew it's coming up like very soon, so I assume that's the next one, yeah.
It is indeed the next one. So, let's be honest, this is a Scooby-Doo film with DC characters in it, as opposed to a crossover. It's the other thing as well that's weird about this film, I'll kind of address this now. Crypto doesn't speak.
No. But Scooby-Doo does. Mm-hmm. At least once.
Yeah. So, we open the film following Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen.
Yes. They're good. I like Jimmy. Look good.
Yep.
Lois looks fine. I mean, she doesn't look very... She looks a little bit different than some Loises, but Jimmy, you don't often get to see him looking like his comic.
Yeah. So, they're exploring the abandoned Hall of Justice, because the Justice League has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And they're then attacked by a bright orange phantom.
Kind of, it looks like the Human Torch, like the old Human Torch.
Yes.
So really funny seeing it and having them say phantom, because every time I saw it, I thought, oh, look, Human Torch, it looks like some fire. But
Thought it looked like some, in my original notes, I have a fiery magma humanoid attacks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you wouldn't have no idea this was a phantom unless they kept saying, maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy manages to get some photos of it as the pair of them escape.
Mm-hmm.
And Lois tells Jimmy to call his girlfriend because the world needs help.
Immediately puts you on edge that Jimmy's been telling lies.
Yeah. So we then follow the Mystery Inc. team as they drive into Metropolis, expecting it to be, well, Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
And the city is in absolute chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So Giganta's there. They bounce between the Legion of Doom, which is Giganta, Joker with Harley. I think Harley speaks more than Joker. Joker just kind of laughs all mm-hmm. through this.
Yeah, he's it's kind of all right. It's not like, because nothing's very overwhelming, but there's also nothing's particularly engaging.
Also, they hint, oh, Fred likes Harley, and then nothing else happens. Well, I was going to go, are they going to set this up? Is it going to be Fred is going to stop Harley doing something and then... There is a woman wearing a skin-tight suit and Fred likes it.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that seems to be most people's reaction to Harley.
Yeah, fair. They then almost drive into Solomon Grundy, who seems very interested the second he sees Scooby. And then Brainiac is also there, which is good to note because that then doesn't factor into the film at all.
No, no. There's a lot of things that are just there and don't factor in at all.
But, I mean, as in, everyone else does show up after this point. Oh, sorry. Zod and a pair of Kryptonians are also there.
Yeah, they're just there as well. That's, you know...
So, after the Mystery Machine escapes the Brainiac ship using cartoon physics, the team arrive at the Daily Planet. At one point, Lois goes, oh, it's almost like Gotham out there. Which, I'll be honest, I know they can always build this, because this is something that's been trending on TikTok, I think, where people are doing TikToks as if they live in Gotham.
Yes.
Don't ask me why. And almost all of them are going, we'd rather live in Gotham. At least when villains attack us, it's like they rob a bank. Not an alien comes and turns us all into husks.
Yes, right.
Also, they do a joke, which is they don't recognise Velma when she takes off her glasses.
Yeah.
Which was maybe funny the first time, and then
it actually did make me laugh the first time because I thought that was setting up the humour for the film, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna like this because that's actually a funny joke." You know, like they both wear glasses. No one in Metropolis recognises her when she takes her glasses off. That's funny. And then the next time they did it, it just wasn't as funny. And like none of the other jokes were as funny as that first time they made this joke.
Yeah.
So I feel like, but the first time I saw it, I did genuinely laugh. I was
Same.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
What I'm meaning isn't they even kind of stretch it out and kind of Scooby starts taking Velma's glasses off. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. Also, Jimmy claims that he's dating Daphne.
Which is funny.
Daphne does not reciprocate.
No.
So they find out the Justice League have been gone for months. When they look through the pictures, they see that as well as Magma Man, there is a shadowy dog with red eyes in the background.
Yeah, I like him.
So the team then go to check out the Hall of Justice because they're now doing guided tours at the Hall of Justice, and this is actually why...
It's genuinely funny. Like, everyone's just happy that they're not there. All the civilians are just delighted that the Justice League aren't there.
And also, it's... So, it turns into an escalated form of the traditional Scooby-Doo plot of, well, yeah, we have this tourist attraction, but ghosts keep chasing all the tourists off.
They've literally turned it. It's pretty clever, again. Still on board with it.
Yeah. So they stop. So they find a food truck. And I didn't expect this character to be the best character in the film, but
absolutely.
She is.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the Alfred card. She just takes over.
So... I'm sure they give the woman a name at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If I can, I can't see it in the list of characters. But anyway, it's a woman who has a food truck who she's happy the Justice League are gone because she can now park outside the Hall of Justice, which she wasn't allowed to do before. And it's giving her great business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, she's a good point.
And the majority of her business does seem to be selling fries, because it's not chips over there, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So then Fred and Daphne drive to the valet parking.
Yeah.
The poor valet has trauma from all the weird vehicles. Like the jet and I don't know what else is there. I think they show one of the Batmobiles.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
And
it's pretty fun.
So, the team all reunites. Shaggy and Scooby have eaten 25 sets of fries each.
Yeah, they wanted more.
And then off screen, and literally, the gag is they both come in and they both look massively overweight, and then like 2 seconds later they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, but that's very Scooby-Doo, if I remember my Scooby-Doo rightly. They always eat lots. They're shown inflated to show that, but then it goes down the minute they need to chase someone.
Also, it's, I believe, all the kind of... So, your main cast is Frank Welker playing Scooby-Doo and Fred Jones, which obviously he did for years.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Lillard is playing Shaggy.
Perfect.
Yep. Gray DeLazelle, Gray Griffin, is playing Daphne. And Kate McCucci is playing Velma. And I believe all of them are kind of fairly... regular performers for the characters.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can tell they're very good.
So it's... Basically, the point I make is it's not like they've just picked
famous
four
people.
Random yeah. famous people. Yeah. I mean, maybe Matthew Lillard,
but he played him in the live action, so exactly. I mean, like, there's a kind of an argue... You know, like, I don't think anyone would choose that as stunt casting, is what
I think it's... I think it's one of those things of he's like the second person to kind of take over the role after, I think it was Casey Karen was the first Shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the mayor is personally giving the tour.
Why not? She's nothing else to do, apparently. Because, like, you know...
It's not like several supervillains are attacking the city.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing to do.
Oh, that must be a Nightmare universe where, mm-hmm. oh no, Brainiac is destroying the city. I was hoping to go out and do my groceries.
Yeah.
They also mention a character called Mad Mods. I didn't know that was setting something up. Obviously not. The group then bump into Lex Luthor, who's there with Mercy Graves.
Yes, I mean, we already know where this is going to go when you see Lex and Mercy.
They also explain that Lex was president for, like, a month.
Which is very odd, but okay.
So it's Charles Halford playing Lex in this particular film, which... It's the first time he's played that character. And he's pretty good. He does sound a little bit like he's doing a Clancy Brown impression.
A little bit.
But again, why wouldn't you? Kind of one of the more iconic versions of the character in mm-hmm. animation. So Lex is desperate to buy the land that the Hall of Justice is on.
Of course.
Because he wants to bulldoze it because... Then he can, then he can build something else on it. So they end up going into the Justice League trophy room, where most of the items are on display. They've taken a few of the items away because they're too dangerous. But they do leave all the lantern rings lying about.
Which is very funny.
It's also, I thought that's not how lantern rings work. The second that they don't have a person wearing them, they fly back? Oh, well.
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's be honest, it's for a gag later.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a ton of different Easter eggs in this scene.
Yeah, and they try and get as many as possible.
It's one of those other things of... And it's something I think it's been missing from quite a few of the films we've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
There is a definite care in this film. There is an actual feeling that, no, people have actually went and thought about things making this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've set things, you know, and they've actually set things up. And it's nice to have a film where it's clear they've taken some time and some effort to do it. And also the animation style's fairly decent as well.
Yeah, I quite like it. I just there's just a lot to it.
Mm-hmm. So one of the phantoms then appears.
Yeah. I like how it's one of the phantoms.
Well, no, so, phantom.
No, I know what you mean. It just made me laugh. So
the phantom appears. Scooby at this point is stuck in a cardboard cutout of Superman.
Which is very funny as well.
So, to his credit, Shaggy defends his pal.
Yeah.
And grabs a ton of trick arrows. Which, again, it must be like 20 arrows he fires.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't happen often, but it's funny what it does.
And none of them work or do anything. However, the building starts an emergency lockdown, leaving the entire Mystery Inc. team trapped, but the mayor locked out. Thankfully, Shaggy and Scooby are saved by Crypto!
Hooray!
Who at this point is disguised as a Shaggy dog for some reason.
Who knows? Literally, who knows why?
Yeah. Just a lot of things with Crypto. As I said, he doesn't speak in this film. Mm. I mean, he is portrayed as intelligent. I mean, even if the gag was Scooby's translating for him.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Scooby doesn't seem to understand what he's saying, Isla.
No, nobody seems to understand what he's saying.
So, we do find out, however, that Crypto's lasers do affect the Phantom.
Which is cool.
Also, Crypto does try to get... So once the team all unites, Crypto then leads them to a break room, and well, then the thing that of all the things I've done in this podcast, this is the first scene that's ever upset me. For those of you who don't know, my actual, obviously we don't do this for a job, we do this in theory because it's fun.
It's mostly
fun. It is actually, and I've seen a load of movies I wouldn't otherwise have watched and enjoyed.
That's for sure, yeah, yeah.
But the team walk in and they find Lex Luthor abusing a vending machine. Which is the owner of a vending machine company. And having had to repair a machine this week because someone shook it to buggery, because it wouldn't take his coin.
That's
this
funny.
This really triggered me. Because Lex Luthor is upset because his vending machine doesn't take Lex Luthor dollars.
Which is just strange.
Because Lex printed up his own dollars.
I mean, you've got to ask why. It makes no sense, right?
Because he's an egomaniac.
Yeah, but I mean, it literally makes no sense.
I mean, we know he's a man that abuses vending machines. There's nothing more evil in the world.
Okay, I better hide. No, I've never abused a vending machine.
Oh, anyway. So, after destroying the vending machine... Lex...
You really are very upset about this.
I'll play. In all seriousness, the one bit we just gone, dude. Crypto steals all the food from the vending machine, including anything that Shaggy tries to take, and takes on more of his traditional look. He turns the. Because his badge turns over and it's a superhero logo. And so the team decide to split up.
Because that's the hallmark of a Scooby-Doo episode. Yep. They always have to split up.
So it's going to be Scooby, Shaggy, and Crypto. Velma, Rex Luthor, mm-hmm. who is Lex's dog.
Yeah, which is cool.
And Lex Luthor, who says, "Oh no, I love looking at CCTV." meanwhile, the final team will be Fred and Daphne, because Fred's upset about the Jimmy Olsen thing,
which is crazy.
Yeah. So, Team Scooby enters the kitchen, and the second that they say, "Oh, it's a kitchen," the room goes acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scooby and Shaggy keep mentioning things. And you see that Crypto's getting more upset.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it then turns out they've accidentally summoned all the villains.
Which is hilarious.
Meanwhile, Fred grabs a spare bat belt that's kicking about.
Yeah, which becomes then another little joke thing they can keep going back to.
Yes, because Fred keeps on pulling out all the silly gadgets. At one point, I genuinely thought he was going to pull out shark spray.
Yeah, that would have been funny. They should have done that.
I was kind of disappointed that they didn't.
Yeah.
At which point, Daphne and Fred start getting chased by the Phantom. We then follow Velma, who sees that the food truck owner has been coming in and out of the building
mm-hmm.
for some reason. Well, I think we find out what it is later, but...
Yeah.
It's more just kind of, could it be the food truck owner?
Yes, because she's old as well, which, you know, like, in Scooby-Doo terms means she's likely to be problematic.
Yeah. And the unlikely suspect. And also they find that Mercy is in the building and that she's really struggling to carry whatever's in her bag.
Yeah, but won't let anyone else look at her.
Hmm. Suspicious.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Freddy and Daphne land on Wonder Woman's invisible tank. And the valet is triggered and goes, "I'll get the ladder." So Shaggy, Scooby and Crypto figures out immediately, and Shaggy and Scooby figure out they're in a holographic training room.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Unfortunately, the system is fried, so in order to escape, Shaggy and Scooby pretend to be tour guides and manipulate all the villains into fighting each other.
It's very funny.
It's a brilliant scene.
Yeah.
And the room is finally fixed just as Velma and Lex and Rex arrive. And it turns out that, two things. First of all, they then, Crypto's collar triggers a video. And they see what happened on the night that... Superman disappeared.
Yeah, which we needed to see at some point.
Yep. But it then turns out the Solomon Grundy in the building wasn't a simulation. It is actually Solomon Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
So after running into Mercy, we get a traditional Scooby-Doo chase scene.
Mm.
Including a bunch of different things, such as...
This is where it starts getting a lot.
Yeah, they do a lot of gags, like Scooby and Shaggy jumping into a variety of costumes and artifacts. Until eventually Solomon Grundy catches both Scooby-Doo and Crypto.
Mm-hmm.
Fred tries to use a bunch of gadgets from the Bat Belt. None of them work. And then Solomon Grundy just randomly disappears.
Which is, again, a little bit strange.
Followed by multiple phantoms appearing. But when you see these multiple phantoms appearing, suddenly their outlines look a lot more familiar.
Yes. I wonder who it could be.
I wonder who it could be that is shaped when they're shaped like the Justice League, and the Justice League is missing.
Yes,
and they keep calling them phantoms, and they mentioned the Phantom Zone earlier.
Yeah. So I think we've got it sorted. Now we just need everyone else to get up to speed.
Also, Daphne confessed that she did dance with Jimmy Olsen as a sort of pity thing.
I mean, that's not, like, super inciting.
Yeah. However, what then happens is that Mercy disappears, as do all the phantoms. Just kind of out of nowhere. Meaning that there is only an empty bag there. At which point Velma goes, I've got it, I know what's happening. Also at this point, after they established, oh, there's no phone signal, Lex gets a phone call. Which is weird.
Very weird. No one rings. Nobody uses the phone anymore. No, I'm kidding.
But it's like weird because they kind of go, so yeah, the phones weren't working until it was convenient that they were.
Yes. Well, oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's, yeah. Well, I mean, again, that seems very animated film likely.
Meanwhile, the Mystery Inc. devise a trap where they go, oh, there is no mystery. We figured it out. The Justice League are just away. Mercy probably just got lost, just like you.
Sure, she did. Nobody who's watched any other film, and I wouldn't have been able to say that before I did this podcast, will think that Mercy is, oh, just got lost.
And we'll just open the place back up. Because we've established at this point, by the way, Lex has no idea where he's going the whole time. He has no references for what this building looks like. So when they go into the front of the building and there's a tool there and the mayor's there, Lex still figures out, or still thinks that he's in the real hall until they find Mercy, who's also there. Mercy reveals that she is angry with Lex because Lex has stopped having joy in doing evil.
I mean, in every universe, right? In every universe.
So, she stole the Phantom Zone projector.
Yeah.
She's the one that caught the Justice League and then generated the phantoms using the gun on a low setting.
I mean, this is where it really loses. I mean, I guess this is also very tropey for Scooby-Doo, but there's just so many, like, random, okay, and then I did this, and then I did that, and then I did, okay.
And it was Mercy that sent Solomon Grundy to the Phantom Zone, and then Lex said, no, I know that's what you were doing the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because he's Lex, he can't be shown up by a mere
mortal
woman.
And Lex explains, oh, I've now bought the land. That's what happened when I had a phone call.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And that he intends to create the largest tower in the world.
Because no one ever got bored of Babel myths.
And the super bulldozers are here to take down the building. And of course, you know that they're LexCorp bulldozers because they're purple and green.
Yeah, I mean, you have to know.
At which Mercy is upset, so just bulldoze, that's silly. Until they turn to Lex robots.
Which is cute.
Powered by kryptonite.
Why not? I mean, like, of course. Yeah, it's just too much. At this point, it is too much. And I'm just like, every time they announce something, I just start laughing.
Mm-hmm. So, Krypto goes to grab the Phantom Gun to release the Justice League. And it turns out that Rex Luthor is actually Metallo. I'm far too proud of that joke.
It's a great joke. I thought they'd actually said it and I'd missed it.
No.
Okay, like, I just sat there for a minute going, wow, did I miss them saying that? Because that's hilarious. So, yeah, I good joke. Good joke. Yeah,
because Rex Luthor is a robot with a kryptonite heart.
It's just crazy. It's crazy.
So, Freddy runs off, leaving Daphne with a utility belt. It turns out Daphne actually knows where all the right pockets are, so she turns into Batman.
Yeah, for some reason. Like, there's no reason given why she knows where all the pockets are. She's just Daphne.
So, a fight breaks out with all the various members of Mystery Inc. trying to grab the Phantom Zone gun. Fred shows up in the invisible tank. The valet's driving the invisible jet. And the snack truck driver has turned her van into a snack-based weapons mobile.
Which is amazing. I mean, it's literally amazing.
It is completely bonkers.
Yeah.
And
we love it.
We love it. And it ends with Krypto and Rex both limping for the projector because both of them are incredibly damaged. Krypto by kryptonite and I keep trying to call him Metallo now. And Rex.
Well, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
You know.
And Rex by he got shocked at one point. But Krypto is then able to activate the projector, which banishes all the like spots to the Phantom Zone.
Thank God, because there were a lot of them.
And then freeing Solomon Grundy and the Justice League.
Mm.
Because it turns out Grundy just wanted to pet a dog.
I mean, Grundy, this is quite good.
So, happy ending. Shaggy is working temporarily at the food truck. Daphne tries to put Jimmy down easy, only for Jimmy to break up with her.
Mm-hmm.
So the Justice League are returning. So Clark Kent also returns.
Hooray!
And then they accidentally knock his glasses off.
He's insanely large and looks like he has breasts. I'm just saying. But yes, it's that really, really buff comic one, which is quite... I just mean that, like, compared to everyone else we've seen in the whole cartoon, yeah. Apart from, like, Grundy, he's, like, this just insane different proportions. But, yes, they knock his glasses off, but somebody manages to fix it.
Yep. Also, Clark Kent does the Vel thing. I can't see without my glasses!
Yeah.
So... the film ends with Grundy getting fries, Flash getting Scooby snacks, and that's the end of the film.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It was just a lot. Like, there were bits where it lost me and bits where it got me again. But it was, you know, I thought in some ways better than I thought.
Yeah. Particularly considering at one point people thought this film was actually going to be a tax write-off.
Oh, really?
March of last year... the film actually leaked.
Oh, of course. That's right. This was done alongside Batgirl, and this was the one they thought were gonna dump, and then they didn't dump, and then they thought they were gonna dump.
This, and I think the other one was Acme versus Wiley as well.
Oh, that's annoying that they've got rid of that.
Which, by all reports, is meant to be actually a good film. I mean, Batgirl is
really
better than the Flash.
I'm really annoyed about that.
But yeah, that was... So that was Scooby-Doo and Krypto 2, the second time we've had Mystery Inc. in
Yeah. And the second time we've had a Crypto film, really.
Second time Crypto's been one of the lead characters, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was good.
So what we got next?
So coming up next, we've got Justice League and Ruby, Superheroes and Huntsman Part 2. After that, we will be celebrating Christmas in May with Merry Little Batman.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not our fault.
Well, it's kind of my fault.
It's just, no, it's not at all your fault. Like, whatever we can do, like, have a few month break and wait till, like, Christmas. Doesn't matter.
We've also got...
No one should only watch Christmas films on Christmas.
Fair enough. And then we're into the Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earth films. By the time we get to them, because by the time this episode comes out, the film will have come out, because it comes out 3 days after the next episode, which is the episode with Connor.
Right, cool.
It makes sense to us. It won't make sense to anyone listening to this bit.
Ignore us for a minute.
By the time this episode comes out, Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2 will have come out. We still don't have a release date for Part 3, so most likely Part 3 won't come out until many months after, and that's the only film we'll have left to watch.
You say.
And we'll be all done.
Yeah.
Because there is an inferior Watchmen film coming out, but we have no evidence that it actually exists.
Yeah, we'll see. That's cool.
I mean, it's not like they've gone to that well twice in very different ways.
Yeah. So how's Rise of the Robots doing?
Rise of the Robots is good. We are covering Robotica, which is effectively a robot assault course competition. This season, it's the last season of the show. It was filmed season 2 and season 3 at the same time.
That's pretty fun.
But then released them a year apart. It's good fun. It's one of those series we kind of put in going, we'll watch it and it'll be filler. And it's actually probably one of the better series we've covered.
Oh, well, that, I mean, I think you said that last time. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's what we're covering. Have you appeared on any podcasts recently?
Infinite Moonlight podcast. We just, we did a catch up. So we're now up to date on the new issues of Moon Knight. So it's sort of like two issues in one big episode. Yeah, because there was only 2 weeks between them, which is not usual. And the first one happened just when Larky died. So we find it very hard to schedule. So,
of course.
Yeah. So it was just, it's harder now I work full time to schedule things. So everything's taking a little bit longer.
Absolutely. Well, at least you'll have one less thing on your plate in a month and a half's time.
Well, you know, I also have to find reasons to talk and, you know.
Yep. So we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Ruby and Justice League.
Yep. All right. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.